Hello, I'm Gary Preston from Grace Faith Christian Discipleship, and this is lesson number 6 in Romans the Journey. This program, Romans the Journey, is a discipleship program. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and we'll read from verse 8. Firstly, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, who I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now that at last I might find my way in the will of God to come to you. Verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Verse 13. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit amongst you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Amen. Let's go to my notes here. These notes are quite extensive. Your faith is the faith we use rather than the faith we were given. Now, that in itself is a nugget, you know. See, none of us use all that we were given. And there might be people listening to this video and said, I didn't know I was given any faith. Well, you were. You were given the measure of faith. And when were you given that? At the new birth. The measure of faith, which is the faith of Christ. It's the faith of Christ, the same faith that raised Jesus from the dead. You need that amount of faith to get born again. 1 Corinthians 2:16. You have the mind of Christ. You, if you're born again, you have the mind of Christ. Tilt. Yeah, it's because you've got the Holy Spirit. It's on the inside of you. Galatians 2:16-20. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's look at the explanation of this. It wasn't our mighty faith that saved us. For our part, to be saved, we who are born again did two things. A, we simply believed on Jesus in our heart, that God raised him from the dead, that is, God raised Jesus from the dead, through a mere decision. This single decision determined our internal destiny. And B, we confessed with our mouth Jesus is Lord. It wasn't because we had faith bigger than somebody else. It's because we believed on Jesus. We made the decision. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. That word of God is the incorruptible seed of God. There is no problem with the seed. It's whether it's sown into good soil. That is a believing heart. Believe on Jesus. It's not great faith or small faith. It's about whether you believe. Salvation is in two places. It's in our heart and out of our mouth, as detailed in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. At that precise moment, you are justified by his grace. That's Romans 3, verse 24. And by believing faith, Romans 3:28, you received the gift of righteousness. That's Romans 5:17-19. You were born again by the power of the Holy Spirit, who baptized you into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a person and then left them. We see David praying and asking, "Take not your spirit from me." We also see the anointing on one person being imparted into another. This is entirely appropriate in that dispensation, but not so in this dispensation, the age of grace. Hebrews 8:6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. In this, the age of grace, we have the Holy Spirit living and abiding inside us forever. Therefore, it is entirely inappropriate for us to pray as David prayed, or to sing the lyrics that David sang in many of his psalms. Moreover, it is the Holy Spirit inside us who empowers us to complete our God-given calling. We should not have people laying hands on us to impart their calling on us. This is nothing more than a religious tradition which in this dispensation, the age of grace, has no basis in Scripture and is inappropriate for us born-again Christians. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. Past tense. 2 Corinthians 1:21-22. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God. He also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 1 John 2:20-27. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. Why try to receive from another man what the Holy Spirit has already given you? Is this not the spirit of Antichrist? Think about it. Has Jesus Christ come in your flesh? Has Jesus Christ come in your flesh? That's in 1 John 4:1-4. See, it says there that if you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, then it is the spirit of Antichrist. That's what I'm getting you to look at here. In a lot of cases, there's more than one application out of the Word of God. Yes, Jesus Christ came in the flesh, in his flesh as a man, and to deny that is the spirit of Antichrist. But hasn't Jesus Christ already come in your flesh? And to deny that, isn't that also the spirit of Antichrist? And yet we see spirit-filled Christians asking for the Holy Spirit to come, to rain down on them. You know, this is Old Testament. It's predominantly from the Psalms that we see this. 1 John 4:1-4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now listen to this. 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Have a think about it. Which ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he is in you than he that is in the world. So why then are some ministers of the gospel laying hands on other Christians for the purpose of imparting an anointing which they have into or onto others? Because they listen to each other rather than being led by the Holy Spirit. They listen to one person and then they copy what that person did or taught, whether it be right or wrong, whether it be correct or incorrect. There are one or two verses, 1 Timothy 4:14 and Romans 1, verses 11 to 12, gifts singular. In the New Testament, that on the surface would seem to support impartation of spiritual gifts other than being filled with the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. This is why it is imperative that we are able to rightly divide the word of truth. The laying on of hands is appropriate when we're praying for a believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and also when we're praying for healing in a person or the like. Romans 12 verse 3, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Notice the King James Version says the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. This is a major difference between Bible versions. I believe the King James Version to be correct. It is telling us that at the new birth, we were all given the faith of Christ, not a partial amount, but rather the same faith that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That is why Jesus could declare in John 14:12, "And greater works than these shall you do." We need the faith of Christ to do the works of Christ. And that finishes lesson number 6 in this series, Romans the Journey. And I'll see you at lesson number 7 very shortly. God bless.